welcome to Get Well Sooner, a podcast where we take a skeptical look at the things people do to get well, which includes religion. I would count that as a thing that people do to stand life, to be able to deal with all this bullshit. Now, I've done this intro multiple times, and you're going to be like, Sarah, this is the one you went with? Yes, because all I'm here to say is it's part two of my interview with Paul and Gabby, and I don't have to say anything else. I'm prolonging this. This has to end. Start the interview now.
Can I ask a couple follow-up questions? I'm just curious now. As far as the, like, learning about Mormonism stuff, did they teach you any of this strange stuff, or was it more just, like, the doctrinal differences that made you cautious? Or was it hearing about whether it's polygamy or, like, black folks not being allowed to be full-fledged members of the church until 1978? Or, I mean, some of these issues that bothered me quite a bit in my younger days. But did you know about any of those? Was that part of the argument from Christianity, the rest of Christianity? Or was it more just the Jesus is the Father versus Jesus and the Father are separate beings type of stuff?
Yeah, it's probably a mix. Some of this logic doesn't add up to me, like the whole America thing. And like, I got really into looking up things like, so there was supposed to be a whole huge battle, according to the Book of Mormon, that took place on the Hill of Cumorah, which is hated. Millions of people allegedly died on a single day on this battlefield. And the Mormons are very adamant about where it is located in America. I can't remember.
Although now that's a big argument within Mormonism. But yeah, there is the Hill Cumorah, where they used to do a pageant every year and sort of recreate some of the stories. But others believe it was more Central America, and some believe it was more in the middle of America. There's sects of Mormonism. Some of them are breaking away from mainstream Mormonism as we speak.
Well, that's good.
Well, no, because they're the extreme right wing.
Yeah.
Never mind. You are wrong about the location, and we're also going to be way more conservative.
Oh, shoot. Okay, no, I heard that
wrong. Some people are leaving for better reasons. Yes, that's good, though.
That's good, because apparently on this Hill of Cumorah, there's not a single shroud of evidence. There's not a single really shroud of evidence that any events that happened in the Book of Mormon ever were real.
There's one thing they hold on to, and then everything else is like, horribly doesn't even match up with the timelines, or what's the word, anachronisms. It's just riddled with anachronisms, like time-wise.
Then there's no shroud of cool scholars. Like, there's lots of evidence in every single layer, not necessarily for all these like miracles, which I think a lot of them are like poetic devices, but the actual like timelines, the lots of the big events actually can be, you can trace them throughout history.
There's some loose ties. Yeah.
And you can't do that with Mormonism. And then it all comes back to Joseph Smith. And I did always never felt this like reverence for Joseph Smith. He always like a shady character. And I think a lot of the belief that, like, the point that brought me to saying, I believe this, or I was kind of just more of defeat. Like, I was so tired of debating it. And I was just like, okay, fine. You guys win.
That's a good number of converts to Mormonism.
Just beat them down. Because, I was not excited about it. And I realized, like, I should be probably excited. I should feel differently. But so there was also this aspect that, I don't know if this was a big factor in my decision-making, but another element of the story was the alleged demon encounters that happened. Yes. During my experience with the Mormon. So I never experienced any of these things. Throughout my whole experience growing up in the church, like, I've heard many stories of people that I know and people that you can kind of vouch for their character, I guess, having experienced demons, and will say, yes, that is 100% what happened and what I saw with my own eyes, blah, blah, blah. So it's so crazy because like I have so many, yeah, like I said, so many of these stories and you just don't know, like, how can you argue with someone? Yeah, I saw this. Anyway, there were a couple of those that happened with the with this group and oh. I never saw them like, yeah, but there were a couple friends of mine that were also in the Christian church that were kind of along the same lines of me getting to know this band, becoming friends with this band and challenging them on their faith and vice versa. So they were not in as deep as I was, but they were doing the same type of having these faith discussions with them. And both of them experienced these demonic, had these demonic experiences separately. So, and I never did, but
that what was- What are they?
Okay, I can share them.
Yes.
It's not gonna be spooky. One girl was about to go on tour with this group. And for the record, I'm not saying I believe either of these stories, but I'm just telling you, like, take them for whatever they are. One girl was going on tour with this group. She had decided she was going to join the band for this leg of the tour. And her whole family was acting like mine, like very scared and very worried and freaked out. And the same, exactly the same thing with like the prayer chains. And then I don't know if it was the night before she was going to leave or very close to before the tour started, what happened was her younger brother, who's like our age, he got a call from, or he was on the phone, sorry, with this girl's, one of her best friends, and they were talking about how worried they were. And then all of a sudden the phone cut out, like the phone call dropped. And he looked at his phone and showed that this girl was calling him back. So he answers it. And it was just like some sort of intense voice saying, don't even try, we've already got her. And he like and just hung up the phone and then called back this girl on the other end that he was supposed to be talking to, and she was like crying. She's like, did that just happen to you? He was like, yes, what the heck? And they told the girl who was going to go on tour, and she's like, okay, hell no, I'm not going on this tour. That was a demon, y'all.
It worked.
Yeah, so that happened. Or didn't happen.
Allegedly.
Alleged.
Somebody claimed it happened.
Alleged. So, and then another demon encounter was one of the girls was just having a really intense theological debate with one of the Mormons, and things were getting kind of like intense. Like, according to her, this guy was like kind of getting frustrated. Come on, like, why can't you just believe this? It just kind of losing his Mormon cool or whatever. He was like, oh my gosh, what will it take for you to believe this or something, getting kind of intense. And she said that the whites of his eyes disappeared and they were all black. And he looked possessed at least. And
This is the person that we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Yeah. And yeah, that was that one. And then, so those weren't like they saw demons, but I've definitely known people who have said they've seen them like with their eyes, which is crazy, but that's another topic for another day.
And you told me that you saw the devil in Mormonism. And I'm really sad that you forgot that you said that, because I really wanted to ask you what it was.
I think what I meant was just that I really felt, especially it might've been around that time that those events happened, I really felt that was starting to feel that like it was evil. Oh no, it must've been after I like left Mormonism and I was now into Christianity.
Yeah.
I think that was when I was like, look, this is what happened to me. I like Christianity is, or sorry, Mormonism to me at that point, I thought it was like an evil thing.
And that was also what you were using kind of as, to me, proof that Christianity is right. Because you know that you said, I know there's a devil because I saw it in Mormonism. And so it kind of, I imagine, pushed your faith even further into, oh, I guess I'm fighting for the right side. But that was like during one of our like, why do you believe this talks, where you're like, well, because then it was the beginning of you being really sure. Before, you weren't really sure. And you're like, I'm really sure because I saw the devil.
Yeah, maybe it was like PTSD from all these like years from that whole experience of being so like unsure. And I was like, yeah, maybe I had to be this sure person and like
to be sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know, Paul, it must be so weird to hear these stories. I hope that it's not too.
No. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Just like, I feel like we're really coming down hard on Mormonism, but I also feel like.
Have you listened to my episodes? I'm more processing it and comparing it to just some of those sort of like different experiences. And I mean, Mormonism is such a missionary heavy religion, whether I do know other people who did become Mormons because they were friends with and or dated members of that musical group. And some of them are still Mormon to this day or more Mormon than the band were. So it's just interesting to hear the different perspectives and ways to have experienced sort of that and wonder what the difference was between yourself and some of these other people. And
yeah, I think it could have gone either way. Like I could see a Mormon person also getting sucked in by the Christian church. Like they're great at that too. And that was like the big kind of resonating thing in my mind looking back on it today, was just how similar it all is at the end of the day. And I do, like, I still think Jesus is pretty cool. I think like he stood for like radical inclusion, which is 100% what you don't see in church at all, in any form of church. I don't think there's not that. It's hard to find that. Yeah, exclusion is like kind of the pillar of like most religions. And yeah, it's the same with Christianity and with Mormonism. So
he was all about questioning the leadership of his religion at the time, which is absolutely the worst thing you can do in Mormonism. Like obedience is the first law of heaven in Mormonism. So
wow.
Also, yeah. Though, he did say that really bad thing about how like thinking about doing something is as bad as doing it.
Oh, yeah. Not everything he said was great. No. I just
gave a lot of people OCD.
Kidding. Yeah, you're never
I'm just here to like to be mean to Jesus because he's the oppressor, man.
Not to get into it, but like Paul, not you Paul, but like biblical Paul, why things went wrong, because Jesus is like, hey, there's no male or female, there's no Greek or Gentile, like we're all the same, we're all equal. And then Paul comes along right away and is like, women, shut up. Go home. Yes.
And he organizes
Paul, we a wouldn't. Church. Yeah, I was going to say, without Paul, no one would know. No one would remember. You just well, those guys. Maybe some people would remember.
There's steps. Yeah, he started it. And then the Roman Empire kind of hijacked a lot of it to make it even worse.
I'm really understanding that as I'm playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. They're really mean to us Vikings because we don't believe in God. We have many gods.
Now, all these demonic possession stories, though, like even the Joseph Smith vision story, he claims he was like attacked by a dark spirit or the devil just before he had his vision.
No and, way.
Mormons don't like bringing that up anymore because they think it's like could be taken either way by the investigators of the church. But yeah, if you watch the old movie they made, like when I, well, probably in the 70s, when I was a kid, the one we watched that was like old then, he gets attacked. He goes out to the woods and some dark shadowy thing gets over him. And it's this really scary point in the movie. And then all of a sudden the light shows up and he sees God and Jesus. Although the more you read about Mormonism, at first he claimed it was just an angel. And then the story kept building like a big fish story over about 12 years. And the final account's the one the church uses these days. But you know, even if you use their main version they use now, yeah, there was like a demonic possession leading up to that.
It's really interesting because Gabby and Paul kind of ended up in the same place, but they came to it really differently because like it's you like so. And I think I'm a little bit more like Paul where I'm like, tell me exactly how this works. I would like to know every single thing about this and I need to know all of it. And I'm really want to know more, get really into all the details. And then if like things are not lining up, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to find another thing. And things aren't lining up. And I think Gabby, you're a little bit more, you got
we all, it's okay. Like, you're a little, you were saying like that you didn't like the judgment and like the sort of vibes that were around Christianity.
Yeah, I feel like I still listen to ex-Mormon podcasts where they discuss the doctrine, and part of it is there's a piece of my brain that will always be like, what if I missed some important element? But it's interesting that you bring up, like, sort of, I seem like the type that it's more about, especially with Mormonism, because there's such a constructed doctrine and it's easy to nail down to some extent relative to evangelicalism as a movement has a lot of, I think there's more openness, there's more different interpretations perhaps. But as much as I've gotten into it and can start, I wanted to know, because it is like a, I've talked about this in our past shows, it's like the Star Wars universe, it's some kind of lore, I want to know about it like I want to know about Star Trek or Star Wars or Marvel or whatever. Like, it's, I'm curious about it. But originally, before I got into all of these doctrinal issues and proof, what got me to leave wasn't any of that. I didn't let myself really dig in properly to that in any great amount. It was more the feelings, because growing up in it, it was all about what do you feel. And I remember there was a guy who called me, and he recently passed away. He was a like important sort of leader in my childhood within the Mormon church, within scouts and stuff. And he called me at some point, and I could tell he was trying to bring me back because he thought I needed the help or whatever. And now I'm losing my train of thought what the point I had, because I got all choked up thinking about the guy, because he did just pass away. But sorry, what was my...
You were just saying that it was the feelings.
Oh yeah, the feelings and stuff. It's just, he goes, well, just remember what you felt sort of in the past, because so much more like, what do you feel when you read the Book of Mormon, when you pray? If you feel good, if you feel a burning in your bosom, that means it's true. If you go to the temple and you feel good, it's true. And he sort of remember what the feeling was. And I had to explain to him, like, the last 6 months to a year of me being in Mormonism, that Holy Ghost voice, those feelings I had been trained to be very aware of and cognizant about, were screaming at me by the end that I needed to get out, that this was wrong. It was that it felt wrong. It was that I didn't like how they treated LGBTQ folks. I didn't like learning about how they had treated Black folks for so long. I didn't feel good about a lot of this stuff. And that's what got me to leave. And then I was able to go, okay, after a little while, I'm going to listen to some podcasts. I'm going to read some books. I'm going to consider some of these things in greater depth that I just didn't allow myself to look into before. But if you grow up in that or you live in that, as much as we want to think that it's reason and logic and knowledge, even with someone like myself, you think that's me. Like, originally, I couldn't even get to that until I sort of pushed through the feelings and stuff, because that's what humans do so much.
Like, I guess it's like, I was more like looking at you guys being like, that looks fun. It looks like they feel good. I would like to feel good maybe, but.
When you think it's real, it's cool. Cause you believe, like, whether it's you get your own planet, you get to be a god one day in Mormonism, or even just that magic is real. Cause essentially, even if it's Christianity, religion, involves all that magic, coming back from the dead, living forever, getting to be with your family forever. There's all sorts of stuff there that's just like cool magic to believe in.
Yeah.
And I think you put it perfectly talking about like the emotion. Because when you're so in the sauce, when you're raised with it, like you kind of start to understand your own feelings, like your own gut intuition as the Holy Spirit. And you're always trying to listen to that voice or listen to that. And it's just so hard to like separate, I think, the logical from the emotional side when it's so ingrained into like your psyche, the emotion. It's really hard to put into words, but yeah, it's kind of actually the same, Paul. Like, I didn't start to kind of get logical about it. And now looking back on, there's no way I could ever believe any of it again. There's not a grain of it left in my, like, any realm of possibility for myself. Yeah, I think you need to have that emotional, like, detachment before you can go ahead and start to see for real. Take off the blinders. And
that's so interesting that you say that, because remember when we were at that camp and they were always like, listen for Jesus and let him into your heart. And then at the end, the girls were like, so Sarah, are you going to go get saved? And I was like, well, I've been listening for Jesus and it's not coming. But that's because I was raised to think the voice inside my head it's the voice inside my head is me. And like that I was waiting for a literal other voice to come. I was like, okay, I'm ready to hear it. But if you've been raised in this and you're like, oh, your conscience or whatever is God, the Holy Spirit, then it's way harder to separate because, yeah, that's so interesting because I just was like, well, I'm just waiting to hear something. I'm waiting, like you guys are talking about talking to God. And I'm like, I can't talk to God. I don't hear anything. But I've had a very good sense of who, of myself, whether that was kind of a negative sense, but I was like, I'm stuck in this anxious brain that I got because of my dad. And this is very like earthly thoughts that happen are because of my dad and because of my genetics. And I'm struggling for those reasons. And I really wanted something outside of me to come and fix it. And, but if I was, you know, maybe raised from being a little kid with that idea, then instead of being like, oh, you feel bad because this is how our family feels, we're losers. Unless it was like, oh, you should feel good because God is inside of you. Maybe it would have been different.
Yep, that's so interesting. There's so much there.
I was thinking, I don't know if it crosses into, I imagine it does to some extent, other forms of Christianity, but in Mormonism, there's so much of, you follow your conscience, that is the Holy Ghost, the voice inside you, your brain, whatever it is. But if it doesn't align with the teachings of the church and the prophets, then that's from the devil.
The devil.
You need to go back until you get the answer. There's only one or two answers the church will allow, and if there's multiple, they're very similar. So you go back until you get the right answer. And if you don't, you start questioning everything. And it's this interesting control method where it ends up still just you come to the decision that you're supposed to come to.
I'm very detached from reality. Like you were saying, Sarah, like you're seeing everything as like an invisible battle for your soul. It's always happening around you versus mental health. Is a thing, and that's like actual like chemical things happening in my brain are affecting me right now. And like
I can see how for some people, like I mean, like for me, even especially because when we were kids and for the rest of all of history, people didn't talk very much about mental health. And so especially like things that weren't as extreme as like schizophrenia or something, so if it's anxiety, if it's whatever, like it is a little bit easier to be like, or better, it would be helpful if I wasn't like, this is just me. This is, there's God and there's Satan and there's all sorts of things, because it kind of allows you to detach from your thoughts, which is what we try and do in mindfulness anyways. Just be like, watch, like they're not coming from me. Because if you take every thought really personally, then you're like, oh my God, like whatever. It's almost a problem. So I could see why people saying, oh, this God and the devil are both in your head, could be a really good strategy in some ways to worry less about, or to, as a way to like kind of diagnose what's going on without actually understanding mental health.
All I can say is like, I found for myself, like after losing the kind of mental crutch of God and the Holy Spirit in my life, of like always being able to say, oh, well, let me like pray about it, or always that whole, like, believing that my gut intuition was somehow connected to God. After kind of severing that in my life, I feel the most mentally, it's so strange. I feel like I'm aware of mental health in me for the first time ever. Or like, oh my God, like I'm really struggling or whatever, and needing to reach out because I'm not able to just pray about it. And for some reason that kind of makes you feel better. Maybe it is because you're feeling mindful in that moment when you're praying or something, you're like present, you're feeling, somehow it calms you down. It's kind of like meditating, but I definitely feel a lot more like aware of anxiety, aware of depression and these things. But at the same time, I feel like so happy to not have that crutch and like more alive and in tune with myself and starting to try to reform a relationship with myself. Because like you said, I would talk to God in my head quite often and then didn't really have a relationship with myself in the same way. I don't know. Did you feel like that? I mean, I'm sorry if I'm putting it on you, but I felt like I didn't know. Yeah, I was always like focusing on my love for God and not love for myself. I don't know.
That's absolutely me. No, a lot of what you just said, most of it resonates incredibly with me. And yes, very much. I am still learning how to sort of respect and love myself, I think, because anytime anything bad happens, it's on you, or at least in my past life. Mistakes were on me, but if anything good happened, thank God. Like, it was God. And I still, to this day, have a lot of trouble accepting even just compliments and stuff, because I don't think I am the one worthy or deserving of that. And I do feel like I'm in a much better place now, but it wasn't without. I've been out for 7-8 years now, and I've had my ups and downs, and some of the downs have come even more recently, where I'm still coming to terms with realizing, like, I do think that some of the depression type of stuff I felt is like realizing, oh, I have to deal with the loss of my father, my grandparents that I've lost. And at the time, so much of it is just like, oh, I'll get to see them again. It's just the next step. You don't grieve. And all of a sudden to get hit with a mass wave of all the grieving you didn't do the last 30 years of your life, well, here it comes. So there's that stuff you have to deal with. But at the same time, I am much more aware of depression, anxiety. I seek out help. I don't just meditate within myself in that sort of prayer format. I've really gotten into meditation, and I feel like it's because it's a healthier version of what I used to do when I prayed in many ways.
It's so nice to know someone has a similar experience as you. It's maybe not like the funnest experience, but I think a lot of people didn't have a choice in growing up with this, but there are some, like Sarah, there are probably some positive aspects too.
Well, so many times counselors have been like, religion, even in some of the, there's like totally secular CBT books and or like DBT or what, not DBT, but like a lot of therapy books and a lot of therapists that I've dealt with are like, could you believe in something? Because it's really hard to be a human. And so many of my like anxieties are just straight up real. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm worried that if I drive a car, I could hit somebody. I'm worried that when I walk down the street, I might get hit by a car. A lot of car things. But I'm like, oh, every time I say goodbye to somebody, I think it's the last time I'm going to see them. And thinking like that is not helpful. So I have to kind of get into a place where I could be like, okay, I understand. The thing is chaos and anything could happen at any time. I have to put that aside and do other stuff, because it totally, like, the existential crisis stuff can get in the way of good mental health as well. And so a lot of people asked me to like consider religion, and they were not religious figures. They were just like, we find this helps people. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I think a lot of people treat religion, or maybe they don't treat it this way, but it winds up being a bit of a cheat code for them. Because I mean, even talking about myself dealing with sort of grief, a realization, maybe if I'd stayed in it, I wouldn't have ever had to deal with that. But is that really healthier? Like, it probably is affecting me in other ways. So yeah, it's one of those things that it works for some people, and I would be very cautious trying to take it away from people who do need it, because it's probably, you know, there's any number of things that may be like not the greatest for a person, but it's better than the alternative situation when it comes to discussions of health and mental health. And I do think, yeah, spirituality, and again, it goes back to Sapiens talks a bit about it. It's sort of, there's a purpose to religion as far as like evolutionarily speaking, survival, dealing with all of these things that we have to deal with in a life, that the alternative would be to go more of like a Buddhist route or a secular route, where you just like, you have to come to a level of acceptance. Like, life isn't fair. Life isn't always nice. You try to find the nice bits in there, hopefully, the enjoyable bits. But I think that's maybe the healthier bit. But who am I to say that's the healthier thing for everyone?
It's kind of like the Santa Claus isn't real. I'm sorry. It was nice, Santa Claus.
You can't go back. You mentioned that already. Yeah, like I always relate it, and I'm always afraid of offending people because it's, I'm not trying to relate God to Santa Claus really, but just in the sense of, could you go back to believing in Santa Claus just because you wanted to and it would be nicer and easier?
Yeah, because then you could be like, where are my presents? And then if you believed in God again, you could be like, hey, God, give me this thing.
It is nice to think that somebody is there that might be able to come in and save you in unexpected moments. It's nice to believe that miracles are possible and stuff. Like, I guess I do miss that to some extent. But at the same time, yeah, most of the time you pray. Sarah, you talked about trying to find out if God was real. I mean, I kind of went through that trying to figure out if Mormonism was real. And in the end, it was, well, I felt good when I prayed. That's got to be it, right? And everybody else says so that that's what they did. And it's true for them. So it must be true for me. It's learned.
Yeah, in the end, I think like in this world where I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be, as humans, we're supposed to be aware of everyone and all the bad things that are going on. At just the fact that we can like, and also we can know everything and it's on our phone, and it's a lot. It's a lot for our little brains. So it makes sense that there's people who are going to just want to stay in a place where it's like, but there's a purpose, which is the same as all those people who are into like manifesting and the law of attraction and stuff. So, oh, but there's a reason, there's a purpose behind it. And just being like, everything's chaos is a little, I know that it's not a good thing to think about all the time, unless you're putting something else there. Everything's chaos. So be kind to the people. Everything's chaos. So live for the moment or whatever. But it's definitely not been recommended to me recently. So I wonder if religion, well, specifically Christianity, hasn't been recommended to me recently. Sometimes counselors go into the like woo stuff, but it was a huge thing when I was like 23. Everyone was like, please become religious.
It's the easy out.
It is the easy out. They're like, we could put you on medication and like do all this stuff, but wouldn't it be, or you could just believe in this thing and then you wouldn't be sad.
Well, and even beyond the belief, I do think there's value in community and stuff like that. We probably still as people in general haven't done a good job of replacing the role that church communities once played for folks.
You MLMs.
There are any number of good and bad options that have tried to build that community stuff up. But definitely, I feel like that is something. When I talk to the folks that are close to me that Mormonism works for them, a lot of the thing, you boil it down, it's, oh, they have a good community. They have good supports. They have very kind people that check in on them. And they can go see a couple times a week at these various events and have a nice little lunch together or whatever. And some are treating it much more healthy. They're not too concerned about the doctrine. They're not concerned about that. They're more like, what can I do for other people? And what am I getting out of this experience? I've thought about going, not that I want to join another church, but I'd love to investigate some of these more universal churches just to see how they do it. After being in one that was so like by the book, rule centric. I think I told you too, the Community of Christ used to be the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's the one that Emma Smith, Joseph's first wife, started with some of the other church leaders after Joseph died, and they made his son the next leader, and they made it like a monarchy type of thing for leadership. But they actually became super like open and progressive, and have had women in the priesthood, and mainstream Mormons make fun of them because they lost their way and don't treat the Book of Mormon with the same reverence. But at the same time, now after leaving, I'm like, oh, maybe they realized, oh, this isn't great. Joseph wasn't great. But we can still have a nice community that we've already sort of built the framework for. So it's interesting to see that version of the Mormonism multiverse. So you could be a polygamist or you could be a universalist. There's any number of versions of, you know, which one's Tobey Maguire and which one's Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Mormonism had, like, that existed. I thought it was like, you know, that's what was different for me about it, is that you're all in. Church, that you don't stray from the Book of Mormon. There's no denominations.
There's so many fractures from Mormonism, especially when Joseph Smith died. Like, everyone was trying to claim leadership, and Brigham Young's version that went to Utah became the big $1 trillion organization they are today, partially because they sequestered themselves in the hills and made some savvy moves as far as young women from Europe and practicing polygamy so that their numbers increased exponentially.
Goodness. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I want to ask Gabby more questions. She wants to ask me more questions. I guess we'll have to do another one.
I think we might have to do more.
Okay, that's it. That's the interview. Thank you so much to Paul and Gabby. We definitely have to do more of those in the future. As for the rest of you, I hope to see you soon on my Instagram at sarah.jickling or anywhere in the grocery store. And I hope to see you. And if not, I hope to hear from you. You can always DM me anywhere. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you have a story that you want to tell on the podcast. That would be great. Literally anything to do with religion, spirituality, or wellness at all. I'd love to talk about it. Okay, so with that being said, like and subscribe. Do all those good things. And I've asked an AI to write me an outro for the podcast. So let me just get it ready. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Get Well Sooner, where we explored the wacky world of Mormon beliefs. We hope you had a good laugh and learned a thing or two about this peculiar religion. Remember, it's important to keep an open mind and a healthy dose of skepticism, even when it comes to the most bizarre of belief systems. Until next time, goodbye, and may the force of critical thinking be with you. I hate myself.
Now I am a cautionary tale. I need to be under supervision.